Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
2 hours down, 2 hours ago, and those 2 hours have flown by here at 95.7 The Game. Whitey, Ratto, and Kolsky, they will talk to Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations of the San Francisco Giants, at 5 p.m. today. That is appointment radio, folks. Appointment radio. We want to hear about Joey Bart. What is going on with him? What is going on with the lineup card? Is he about how are they going to look at the trade deadline if they are out of it? 5 p.m. Farhan Zaidi right here on 95.7 The Game as we talk Giants. Big game for them tonight. 5:40 p.m. for first pitch. John Gray versus Logan Webb. Giants must win. A's balling right now. They're playing the Texas Rangers. Walk off yesterday. They've won four in a row. They are 7-4. Piscotty with the walk off grand slam last night. Jesus Luzardo, oh my Lord, looked fantastic yesterday in five innings. Baseball of the Bay rocking and rolling. Fellas, real quick before we talk about the 49ers, because Fred Warner and Raheem Mostert are talking. They're talking to the media right now, and Mostert right now talking to the press about his contract extension. What'd you take away from Luzardo last night?
Well, I'll tell you this about Luzardo. He is nasty. No other way around it. The deception in his delivery, there's just something about lefties who throw that way. Again, I keep saying he reminds me of Johan. Like I think he's way bigger than Johan. I'd like to know what his size is compared, because Johan always struck me as someone smaller, but he was silky. I mean, he is nasty. He's got that slide. He's got silky. That fastball. No, he really is, dude. And the way he kind of like lulls you to sleep with that little leg kick and then comes in hot, I mean, the guy's electric. There's no other way around it. And when you're watching him, he's one of those guys you watch on television, you can't turn away. There's something about a lefty who could throw that hard and then has that breaking stuff. I mean, it's pretty devastating.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and I'll die on this hill. I always feel like when a pitcher faces, you know, a lineup the first time or a batter, the pitcher always has the advantage, especially when the guy has the stuff that Luzardo has. So last night was dominant, and, you know, I remember when the throwing Samoan came up, we were all excited. So I'm eager to watch this. The A's need it, and now you think if they could get to the playoffs, I know they still got to earn it and get there. If this guy is what we think he is in that debut, I think of Fernando Valenzuela, his first, you know, from Fernando Mania. I mean, it can happen if he keeps, you know, duplicating what he did last night. But they would have that ace, that Verlander, to where if they had a one-game play, well, they won't. They'll have a series. But you're confident to where you got your, you know, your pitcher for the next 10 years.
Luzardo looks
good. They got a three-game series now.
I'm just hoping they stay healthy. Marcus Semien, he's going to – going to be a free agent after the season, batting 188 so far. Matt Olson batting 139 so far. You see Chris Davis batting 125 so far. I get it. You get healthy against the Mariners. You get healthy against the Texas Rangers. But how good is this A's team before we shift away and talk some 49ers football?
I mean, I think they're really good. I mean, just think about it. Like, they had to face one of the best teams in baseball right out of the gate in the Houston Astros. So I don't sleep on that. And then the Angels, you know, they got a really good lineup. They're not great, but they got a really good lineup up and down. So I think the A's are fine. Look, they're slow starters notoriously. So the fact that they're actually in a good position right now after not really batting too well, the best is yet to come. I mean, does anyone believe that Matt Chapman's going to be struggling all year? Because
right,
I don't. Okay. Like, I don't. I think he's going to bounce back. And the guy who we never talk about, who I just, like, I love watching him play. Ramon Laureano is just, that's my guy, dude. Like, I really love the way he plays baseball. I just can't get over the fact that Houston did not protect this guy. Like, Houston was so loaded that they allowed Ramon Laureano to
it
just
happens.
Go.
It happens, yeah.
I mean, and he's been an absolute stud for the A's.
Yeah, and I'll say this, because I was worried Friday night, and I was telling producer Kyle where the offense was coming from and why don't we see it. It is a short season, so when you have teams like the A's that have bats, as I like to call it, get off to a – you don't know when that slow start is going to end or bury you, and now that they're 7-4, it's all good, and they're not hitting Bonte, so the best is yet to come from them.
Deion Jordan, your newest member of the San Francisco 49ers, they picked – Deion Jordan over Ziggy Ansah. Deion Jordan last year played with the Oakland Raiders, former number 3 overall pick with the Miami Dolphins coming out of Oregon. A lot of hype on him. Fell out of the league. Hit rock bottom. Deion Jordan, you guys like the signing? adds depth. You guys were talking about depth yesterday. Well, that's for sure. But what kind of impact will this guy have? How many snaps will he play? How are you guys feeling about Deion Jordan signing
with
the 49ers?
He's a body. I'm not excited. He's a body. I don't even know if he's going to make the team. Now, if you would have got Clowney, I know he cost. That would have been a Lamborghini. I would be excited. But I don't know. The fact that they feel like they need another body and you lost Buckner – and you got Kinlaw, and he's a rookie, and the offseason's not what it used to be. Just a couple question marks about the Niner defensive line after DeForest Buckner. I'm curious.
I don't know. This doesn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, if it's an upgrade, great. Like, as far as, like, a backup upgrade, okay, that's fine. It just – I mean, we haven't really I can't remember seeing Deion Jordan make a play in an NFL game. I mean, this is a guy that, like, I've heard about so much. I've never seen him make a play in an NFL game. Have you?
And this is all I was saying yesterday. Ziggy, like,
but I've seen Ziggy. But right. I've seen Ziggy make a play.
This is what I was trying to say about Deion Jordan. He had 2 sacks last year. I think producer Kyle told me. How many snaps did he play last year?
127.
127 snaps. And look, he got 2 sacks last year. Depth does nothing for me if the player doesn't produce.
Wow.
He's just a body. And if he does get on the football field, well, guess what? If he's not producing, a team's going to attack him. They're going to say, oh, they got Deion Jordan back there? Let's run right
now. Now, the Raiders didn't have a Bosa. You know what I mean?
And that's a
good point. And I'll throw Armstead. So maybe he can be the byproduct Butch of that now that, you know, you're playing with dogs. Maybe you can show some flashes.
I'm not even sure what his skill set is at this point in his career. I mean, I know his speed was – no, but I mean, like, serious. Like, coming out of Oregon, it was speed. I can't even tell you what the strengths and weaknesses are of Deion Jordan because I've literally never seen him take a snap in the NFL. I've heard about him a lot. I've heard a lot about teams inquiring about him. I don't know a whole lot about the actual player in the NFL and where he fits. I'm just being honest.
What message does this send to you two, though? Because I didn't think they needed another body. I'm no GM, but I thought they were set. You know what I mean? What message? Is this just a camp body or
It could be a camp body. It could be insurance for – and look, I don't know what type of insurance. I don't think we're talking Geico here. Maybe we're talking – I don't know what type of – maybe one of those bootleg insurance companies that you get on the internet when you look for new car insurance.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. But D4 did not
liability
stay healthy last
just
year.
Liability.
Yeah, you just get the liability. You pay about $50 a month and pray to God that you don't get into a wreck. Look, D4 was hurt all throughout training camp. He was never healthy at all last year. D4 was. D4 did say he's healthy now. He feels really good. I don't know. He's had an injury history. He's had back injuries. He had back surgery. Can he stay healthy for 16? This is another body in case you don't have these guys come back healthy. Kentavious Street, you guys mentioned him yesterday. Hasn't been healthy throughout his career. Julian Taylor got hurt last year. DJ Jones, he's been hurt. He got the ACL. Yeah. DJ Jones was a factor last year. Go look at the Green Bay tape on Sunday Night Football. He dominated that football game, and he's underrated when it comes to athleticism. He ran quarterbacks down. Remember Kyle Allen in Carolina that game? DJ Jones made a great play on Kyle Allen. Where I was like, wow, look at the angle. Look at the agility from DJ Jones. I don't know what Deion Jordan brings to the table. This is what I was talking about yesterday. I have no idea who Deion Jordan is. It does nothing for me. And depth is great if you have really quality if you have quality football players. Is Deion Jordan a quality football player? I have no idea.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like it for the simple fact that he's a name that I know, and he's somebody that isn't a practice squad player. But I don't think it means a whole lot. I don't think it means a whole lot. I'm just being honest. It's more intriguing than saying we signed CFL player X. Like, I'm just being honest. You know, you lean forward a little, but Deion Jordan doesn't do it for me at all. Ziggy, I have at least seen make plays, and he has familiarity with Chris.
You heard Kassura, his name,
so I can put that. Yeah, I can put that out there. You know, Deion Jordan.
And we had our guy Ian on yesterday. Remember he came at you, Butch. What did he say?
Why you cut him off?
Don't cut him off. But, you know, and I'm fixated on this. When you talk about the draft picks and Ayuk and Kinlaw, everybody has draft picks and they're hoping. And I go to Seattle. And when I look at Seattle's defense and I say, damn, they added, I won't dare call him the Kittle stopper, but they got a guy that can do multiple things. And then I look at the Niner defense and I say, damn, they lost Buckner. That concerns me a little bit, B. So I'm wondering if, like you said, there are a few Niners, Blair, DJ Jones, and now D Ford, even though you say you're healthy, you got to do the Missouri thing and show us maybe this is, you know, just them saying, hey, if all three of them, you know, don't remain healthy, we got a body. You know,
it's
what
a
I
roll
mean?
Of the dice. I mean,
Jamal
that's
Adams
I look
in
at
that
it.
Seahawk uniform scares me, man. I'm serious. I just it really does.
No, Jamal Adams doesn't scare me. Russell Wilson scares me. That's who scares me for
Jamal
Seattle.
Adams.
Like, no, Jamal Adams is a great player, but I'm just saying, like, it's Russell
though,
Wilson.
Butch?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, in the grand right. scheme of things, it's in terms of, like, me being scared, like, it's Russ, and then there's a large
right,
Grand
I'll
Canyon,
okay.
and all then right. eventually I'll go to Jamal Adams. But, like, Russ is the stir that,
guys.
I mean, he's the shake, he's the stir, he's everything.
Go ahead,
guys.
Yeah,
what
Adams
scares me about Russell Wilson is not his play on the football field. Well, it does scare me, but this also scares me.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
What the hell's going on, man?
What's up? It's your boy, Guru.
Now, see, that didn't need to be played. Who played that?
Listen, Bonte, Chesky, Kyle, Arthur Fonzarelli was cool. Russell Wilson, what he just did was corny. What was that?
I don't know.
That was Alfonso from Silver Spoons. What was that?
Oh, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Do you
the Press Prince of Silver Spoons?
Yeah, what
Carlton?
Was that?
Do you guys
live in it?
Do you guys think there was a little bit of self awareness there? Like he knows he sounds like a dork.
Yes.
All right.
You
okay,
think it's a bit?
100%. He's sly the like Sierra a fox, man. Right, and not okay. only that, dude, it seemed a little rehearsed and on point. Like, that to me, it seemed very premeditated. Again, I love Russell Wilson.
But, yeah.
I love him, and I also hate him simultaneously. The guy, everything he posts, everything he does, everything is calculated. Every outfit, the look of, like, the pictures on his Instagram, everything is premeditated. Maybe I'm too cynical when it comes to him. Again, I appreciate him. I think he's one of the great quarterbacks of this era. No question about it. But I just, that was ridiculous. I mean, like, honestly, how can anyone take this guy serious when it comes to things like that? You wonder why Sherman just makes fun of this guy left and right.
I mean, I just think, man, how the hell did he pull Sierra? How did he pull
exactly.
Sierra? I mean, man, he's got game.
Hey, woman.
$200 million?
You want to come over and read?
Yeah. Hey, quarterback.
Russell Wilson didn't pull Sierra. Mr.
Unlimited.
Did.
He got the good hair, though, Bonte, so you know.
He looks like a dolphin trainer, doesn't he?
A dolphin? What's that?
Look, we're going to get
some.
Elaborate.
Or a male cheerleader.
I don't know what's going on. Okay. When I saw that, I said to myself, I cannot get those 58 seconds back in my life. There's nothing funny about it.
That is great stuff.
Alter ego? Like, you're playing with this guy. You're like, bro, delete the footage. Delete the footage. I'm like LeBron James at the Nike camp when Jordan Crawford ducked all over him. They got Nike. Nike got that camp to delete the footage, and they took the tape, and we've never seen that tape again. That was awful. I never want to see that again. I never want to hear it again. Oh, my Lord. But look, he could play on a football field. That's for sure. He's not corny when he plays quarterback.
If you're one of his teammates, though, like, I mean, yeah, we've all played with people and worked with people. We're like, oh, God, can't stand this guy away from the game. But when we get on air or when we start to play, love the dude. Love the dude as a teammate. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you see this in all walks of life. You don't necessarily want to hang out with them outside of work. But inside of work, you know you kind of need the guy. So you kind of tolerate certain things, even though behind his back, you're like, dude, what is wrong with Russell? Like, and seriously, you know that whole team's having that conversation.
I'll give them 100 points for being real, because nothing's worse than when you got a guy from the suburbs trying to be a gangster and rap or do whatever, live that life. That wasn't that. He knows he's goofy, corny, and he's secure with himself. He's got a beautiful wife. You know what? Got babies coming out every other year. So he's doing his thing. So maybe he was just trolling us with, let me be goofy, and I don't care what to troll. BSNG and BZ.
Oh, man.
What's he going to do post-career?
I don't know.
I think he's going to do something. I don't know what, though. I really don't.
I'm more worried about Raheem Mostert. I'm more worried about Raheem Mostert.
I'll look
here.
At him.
And the press is talking. We'll play the sound a little bit later when we get it in. But Raheem Mostert told the press today, I am the starting running back. When I step on that field, I want everyone to say that's a bad mofo. Said he added muscle mass, and he expects to get 20-something carries a game.
How about that?
I mean, it's not really a Shanahan staple, at least as head coach of the 49ers, I believe. How many, Kyle? Five guys have gotten 20-plus carries with the 49ers in a game under Kyle Shanahan so far? Could be less than that. Mostert says that
he's gonna, Coleman wants, think of that?
Coleman said, look, I could play too. And that's the thing. I like Raheem Mostert. I really do. I thought it was a crime that he didn't get a carry in the first quarter of the Super Bowl. However, people talk about Tevin Coleman like he's a bum. Tevin Coleman had over 100 yards against the Vikings in that playoff game where they just basically said, hey, Minnesota, we're going to run down your throat. We're going to play smash mouth football. And Coleman runs hard. There's this, like, I don't think the gap between Mostert and Coleman is as wide as, say, I don't think it's that wide. I really don't.
I do. Wow. Yeah, I do, because there's a different element. Like, Coleman's a nice player. He is. He's a nice player. No one's dogging him. Mostert's a home run hitter. When this guy gets out into the open field, he shakes and bakes and sniffs the end zone and gets in there every single time. This is not hyperbole. My comparison for him, and I mean this, he's a poor man's Clinton Portis. I mean, he really is. He gets to the outside, one cut, the dude is silky, sneaky tough, hard to bring down, great foot speed to the outside, and he sniffs the end zone. Like, Raheem Mostert's the real deal, man. I really do. I think if this guy does get those touches, you don't even need to give him 20 a game. You give him 16, 18 carries a game, this guy's getting you 125 every single week. He's that good. His vision is spectacular.
Bonte, is that a contract that would have him come out and before it was like, it's a community of running backs, we do it by committee, but for him to come out and say, did he say, I want to be the starter?
He's got to be feeling good. I am the starting running back.
Love it.
Maybe that was disgust, but whoa.
Three players, fellas. Three players. Three players have had 20-plus carries in a game for the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan, and take this information as you want. Carlos Hyde, two times in 2017. Jeff Wilson Jr. once in 2018, Tevin Coleman once in 2019. And then, of course, Raheem Mostert in the NFC Championship game when he went off for over 200 yards. That's about it. Shanahan doesn't roll like that. He really doesn't. Mm. So I don't know how many carries Mostert will average per game. But Coleman runs hard, man. And before he got hurt, that Carolina game, we're all saying, man, look at Tevin Coleman. This is a guy from Atlanta. This is a guy who's shifty, who runs physical, who puts his head down and bulls over guys. I think Coleman's a damn good player. I don't know why Coleman's got this reputation out here in the Bay Area. It's almost like people feel like he's a bum. I don't think so about Coleman.
No one thinks he's a bum. I said he's just not a home run hitter. And look, the guy.
Brito was a home run hitter.
He stays dinged up, though, B. Will you grant me that? The ankle, the shoulder. Like, he got hurt in the NFC Championship game. Like, we love the guy. Because he's so physical, he does. He stays banged up. And I think that you have to have a plethora of running backs when he's one of your dudes. Like, because you just don't know if he's going to get that ankle rolled up or not. And when he wasn't healthy, he ran a little tentative. Like, when he's healthy, he is a good player. I'm just saying, Raheem Mostert's fresh. This kid's, he's got that Priest Holmes freshness because
he's confident
behind
Butch,
somebody.
For him to say that starter,
and
he's,
I mean, this guy,
Bonte.
Hey, very few times does the scheme fit the personnel perfectly. And in this particular instance, Mostert and what Shanahan wants to do, it is a perfect match made in heaven.
Let me ask you guys this. Why did it take so long for the 49ers last year to discover that Raheem Mostert was a guy? Because the first 8 to 9 games, he didn't get a lot of carries. I know he had to fumble against Pittsburgh in week number 3, where everybody was fumbling the damn ball around. It didn't seem like the Niners really believed, or Shanahan really believed in Mostert. And I know he had that big game against the Oakland Raiders a couple seasons ago, couple seasons ago on Thursday Night Football. His forearm. He broke his forearm in that one. Remember that? And he's out for the season. But it seemed like Shanahan really didn't believe in Mostert until the Baltimore Ravens game.
Yeah, the thing with Mostert is he didn't get a lot of opportunities. Look, early in the season, Breed was running hard.
That's what I'm saying.
Was running,
it's like they didn't believe in him.
No, it's not that they didn't believe in him. It was a stacked running back situation. Like, Jeff Wilson Jr. was running hard in preseason. He was making a case for himself. Matt Breida was somebody that they really, they wanted to see one way or the other. Are we going to keep this guy because he was in a contract year? Or are they going to move off of him? I mean, Matt Breida started the Cleveland game untouched 82-yarder. I mean, it was electric. Yeah. It was electric. But by year's end, Breida couldn't be trusted, right? Things happen throughout the season. Things change. And, you know, sometimes guys get opportunities and they wow a coach. Sometimes a coach thinks, hey, this is just what you are, and I don't really think highly of you, and you don't get game live bullet reps. And then all of a sudden you get your opportunity. Yeah, maybe my opinion changed. Like me, when presented with new information, Shanahan adapted his opinion.
Right there. Now, Bonte, I will say this. The great John Madden said, when you have three of something, you don't have one.
Boom.
And he was talking about, I'll never forget when he said that. But the Niners, they do it their way, and they should have won the Super Bowl last year doing it their way, running back by committee. But the running back has been disrespected in the NFL the last decade. And
agreed.
I'm old school, so I like, you know, a Gurley, Zeke, you know, running Earl Campbell, running Roger Craig, running backs like that to where you know you got that bell cow. But I'll say this. He is the most talented back, Mostert. He got his contract. And for him to come out and say that on day one or day two, he's in a good place mentally. And I know, Bonte, I'm not saying, oh, he's way better than Coleman. But from what we've seen and whatever's going on behind closed doors or he's hearing from the coaches or the coach, he's feeling some type of way like he's ready to Rick James and bust out, man.
When you say the best all-around back, Coleman's a better pass receiver than Raheem Mostert at this point. I don't know about Mostert's hands. Now, he may not have to do that a lot because you have Jerick McKinnon back. You have Jerick McKinnon back who maybe can take pressure off of Mostert when it comes to that situation. And I love Mostert's confidence. I love the way he ran at the end of the year last season. But I'll throw this at you guys. Over under carries from Raheem Mostert in 2020. He gets over 200 carries this year?
Ooh.
I'm going over. I'm going over.
Boy, that's a great question.
Yeah, I'm going over. That just the 200. I said sitting in and I did my math division.
I'm going to go under, and it's not because I don't believe in Mostert. I don't even know if there's going to be 16 games played. Like, it might be a 12 or a 13 game season.
Don't do that, Butch.
No, I know. I'm being honest. I think they're going to try to preserve him.
Hypothetically, let's play a hypothetical game. Hypothetical.
Let me put on my Bonte glasses. Let me look at the schedule 8 months from now. I'm seeing over 200 carries. Right. Over 200 carries.
I love it.
I mean, I need a break. You guys going goo goo gaga over the Giants at the six games of a baseball
season. Gaga goo goo.
I can't look at a 10-game road trip. Hey, let me go. But I'm a bandwagon fan. Okay, I get it. I'm going to go under because I think Shanahan will give Coleman carry. He loves Coleman. Let's just be real. Maybe he does show a little favoritism towards Tevin Coleman, and he wants to keep his running backs fresh. I'm going to go under 200. He had 137 carries last year. I think he gets around, in a regular season, 170. I'll say Mostert 170. About 170. I'll go under 200. Tevin Coleman last year, he had 137 carries throughout the season, and he was hurt in a couple games.
Yeah, how many did he miss? Four, five? Was it that many, or was it just a couple?
I think he missed a couple with the ankle injury. Well, he missed week two, three. He missed week two, three, and four. Excuse me, weeks two and three. He missed the Pittsburgh game and the Cincinnati game.
And then the bye week, he got healthy.
Okay. And he had 16 carries against Cleveland. Because look at that three-game stretch, 16 against Cleveland, 18 against the Rams, 20 against Washington. But the yards per carry just wasn't there because the Niners were just running the ball down everybody's throats and people start stacking the box. Mostert's nice. Mostert's nice. But I think it's a benefit to having three different running backs with three different styles. Defense doesn't know what to do. They don't know what to do. I love having a fresh running back.
I don't know who's going to get left out of the equation here because I really like Jeff Wilson Jr. too. I mean, I think Jeff Wilson Jr. gives them something different physically. McKinnon, Coleman, Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr. This is a great thing to have. I mean, honestly, I look at the Patriots over the last few years when they were actually winning Super Bowls. They had Burkhead. They had Deion Lewis. They brought in Sonny Michel. They had a different running back for each situation within a game. And guys are getting dinged up, or maybe they take a stinger. They get off to the sidelines. You can't have enough running backs in today's NFL, in my opinion.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I want to see Shanahan employ the running back by committee.
I can't wait, man. We're around the corner.
Yeah, we are right around the corner here. We'll talk more 49ers football coming up. Brought to you by Safeway. Dirt of Guru Johnson, Bonta Hill, Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy. It's all sponsored by Safeway. More of your phone calls. How excited are you about the season starting up? We'll read some quotes from Fred Warner. More quotes from Raheem Mostert, who says, "I am the guy. I am the starting running back in San Francisco." We'll talk about all that stuff. Sponsored by Safeway. Safeway is the largest buyer of local Northern California produce. Right now, save on sweet peaches, nectarines, and plums, just 99 cents per pound. I need to run to Safeway and grab that. Find blueberries for $2.99, plus save on Oro Wheat variety brands. Buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore.
Run it again!
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Little Wu-Tang here on a Wednesday afternoon, hanging out until 2 p.m. here on BSNG. I know you guys have been watching the bubble, the NBA bubble, that is, in Orlando. And we've seen great game after great game. Last night, the Blazers beat the Rockets. Melo. Steiny, were you watching? Melo.
Skinny Melo.
Skinny Melo. We saw the Bucks lose to the Nets without Giannis, really. Just some really good basketball being played, and I just wish the Warriors were in the bubble. Wish the Warriors were in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, I don't really care about them being in Orlando because this year is a lost year for them. They weren't going to win the championship this year. They need to retool. They need more pieces, right, man? I mean, we can all see this. They need more on their team. As much as I, from a selfish standpoint, would like to see the Warriors every single night on my television, I also understand that this team is kind of flawed right now. Like, they really are. They need to retool. They need the offseason. I need to see the tinkering of the roster, see what they're going to do to massage the cap situation. And I want to see an entire training camp with Wiggins and Clay and Steph Curry and whatever the heck they end up doing with the draft pick, the mid-level exception, things like that. Like, I don't know. I didn't think they were going to win it all this year. Not that I wouldn't want to watch it. I'm just saying they seemed really flawed. I think they were going to get knocked out.
I'll say this. Since the bubble, the inception of the bubble, it seems like to me there's just been a more emphasis on three-point shooting. I watched the game the other night with the two teams, 50, one shot 50, the other attempted 63-pointers. And I'm just saying, from a Warrior perspective, if they don't go get that big or Wiseman, Bonte, and Shasky, they're still going to have action because this new NBA is about shooting three-pointers. I'm watching the Rockets. I'm not saying that's what the Warriors would be. You got Chris and whatever you do with this draft pick, but I just think they're in the game because they got the Splash Brothers. And there's just a part of me, Bonte, that just my mind wanders like, man, what if the Warriors were in this bubble and they had some action with their DNA, Butch, and just letting the threes fly? What would Steph Clay and Jordan Poole coming off the bench letting them go? And I know you got to earn that, but moving forward just next year, dude, we're in a different era of hoop right now. It's the three ball or bust.
It's been like that for a little bit here. Let's hear from Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr was on the Bill Simmons podcast earlier this week, and here's what he had to say about the Warriors missing out on the NBA bubble in Orlando.
So when the Orlando thing happened, you know, I don't think a lot of us were that disappointed, you know, to not be invited, you know, especially the guys who have been part of this thing the last 6 years, you know, Steph, Draymond, Clay, you know, they guys needed a rest. They just needed to get away. But now that it's going, I haven't talked to those guys about it. Actually, I talked to Draymond about it, but I haven't talked to Steph or Clay, but Draymond and I both kind of feel the same way, which is, we kind of want to be there. Like, we're missing out.
Right.
These games look fun. I think the NBA is doing a great job. The games are competitive. Players look great. And, to not be there is actually kind of painful.
Whew, I kind of echo those sentiments from Steve
Me
Kerr.
Too.
Not seeing Curry and Clay. And you imagine Clay trying to come back with the torn ACL in the Orlando bubble, Ooh. Playing against Dame Dollar in these seeding games. What about
they're
Curry?
They're playing hard, y'all. They're playing hard.
Oh, man.
Everybody's playing
That's
hard.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but did you guys really think they were going to – I'm asking sincerely. Did you really think they were going to win it all this year?
No, absolutely. It's not about that. No, it's about competing at a high level in the bubble where there's no fit. You got the virtual fans, and you're just out there hooping. No distractions. It's the world's greatest AAU tournament right now. And you see Dame Dalla last night, who's trying to stake his claim as the best point guard in the NBA. Whether you believe that or not, it is what it is. I'm saying, see Draymond Green out there barking in these pickup formats, and then the bitches going crazy. Oh, man, I'm so bummed at the Warriors. And I get it. They had the worst record in the NBA. They weren't going to be in the Orlando bubble, but it is something not seeing those blue and yellow jerseys, those city jerseys out there in Orlando with Steve Kerr on the bench and Mike Brown and company and Pascal getting some experience in the playoffs. I'm a little jealous that the Warriors aren't in this bubble.
Yeah, but that would be like if I was applying the metrics of last year, like had they had KD and they were in it and they're in the mix. Like after watching them all of this year, I don't know, maybe I'm different. Yes, I love watching them play, but I couldn't wait to fast forward to the offseason to see what the heck they were going to do because they have some unbelievable options facing them right now. Some serious questions on which direction they want to go with the draft picks, with some of the players that they have on the current roster. Like, there's moves that need to be made, and that's why like I just couldn't wait to simulate to the end to finally have some finality on this year so I could see what the offseason holds for them because it's all about next year, right? Like, that's where I'm at with them. They're in the championship now window. It's all about next year.
Right.
So maybe I'm just too fast forwardy, if that makes sense.
And no. Bonte, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Guru.
No, I was just going to say it starts with the lottery. The lottery is next year. It's going to be here sooner, and we'll see what the new look Warriors will do. Will they trade the pick? I don't know what pick they'll have, but I'm excited. But I will say this in regard to what Kerr touched on. The Warriors had been there year after year. Those legs had to be turning into spaghetti. And now, not only do you get an off year, you get almost a year and a half with COVID of non-basketball activities.
Is that
good? So like a great loaf of bread, you got to think next year they're going to be fresh. That you know?
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Let's say last year's team had to go into the bubble. I'm just hypotheticals, but let's say last year's team – I don't think the bubble would have been good for them. There was so much drama going on last year with the team and where they were at and guys wanting to get paid. Draymond had yet to get extended at that time.
Dude, they were winning game 6 in the finals. Okay, if they won that, they would have won game 7, Butch.
I'm asking you, if last year from the first round on, from that Clipper matchup on, would the bubble have been the greatest environment for the Golden State Warriors, given all the drama and everything that was going on? I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
Probably not, but you know what? It would have made for some compelling television. Damn near feelings.
And I got my money on Kerr.
Because
it really didn't jump off, except L.A., you know? It really didn't jump off with, they hate each other and this and that. They kind of swept it under the rug a little bit.
Because Kevin Durant, one thing we know about Kevin Durant, in pickup environments, he's an absolute baller. We see him at Rutgers Park. We see him in pickup games. He loves that stuff. Kevin Durant in a pickup environment with Steph Curry, once you get on that floor and you tip that ball up, nothing else matters. These guys at their core are just hoopers, and they want to win. And in that environment, knowing that it would have probably been the last ride with Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, I would have loved that. That would have been great. Yeah, they probably wouldn't have gone fishing together. They probably wouldn't have played cornhole together. They probably wouldn't have gone to the barbershop together. But you know what? They would have balled out there in that Orlando bubble. And I just wanted to see young Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins in a bubble environment against these teams. Oh, man, look what it's doing for the Phoenix Suns. You can't tell me they're going to carry this momentum. They might not make the playoffs. But for Bridges, for Ayton, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker, this is good for them. This is good for the young Memphis Grizzlies. This would have been good for Pascal and Wiggins.
Yeah, I love it. I'm with you.
This guy's talking about the adjusted NBA playoffs where more teams are having opportunities, and he's super optimistic for these other teams, but how dare I have any optimism for the Sanders?
No, I didn't say
Giants.
You could have optimism.
Fun.
No. I never said that.
I'm excited. I'm glad that you're optimistic.
I never said that. You can have all the optimism you want. You could wear your pom-poms. You could wave them. You could do all that stuff. I'm not telling you what to do. Don't tell me that I can't look at the schedule after six games. And then don't tell me, hey, with the bubble, what? That has nothing to do with each other. Nice try, but it has nothing to do with each other. Nothing to do with each other. You can have hope. You can have hope all you want to. More power to you.
Look, I'll be honest with you. In the bubble, I swear to God, every time I turn on NBA TV, the Orlando Magic are on, and I've had enough of the Orlando Magic. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've seen them a zillion times. The Pelican thing. I thought that the Pelicans were going to get into this whole bubble strictly so I could see Zion.
300 pounds.
This guy's on a pitch count. What is going on
here?
Out of
like, shape.
He's on a weight count, too. 300. He's got to be 300.
He doesn't look like he's in great shape.
Alvin Gentry.
25 points.
So damn good.
Alvin Gentry better be looking for apartments in the Bay Area because I have a feeling he's coming back. Yeah, I mean, I love the man.
I root for the black coaches extra hard, too, but something's going. There's a disconnect somewhere, man. I don't know.
They don't look right.
The way they quit against the Clippers, that was not impressive at all.
If you're Memphis, you had all this momentum during the regular season, and you've just been zapped since going into the bubble.
But you got a ball. You got to play.
I know, but they played some competitive games, but they were building all this goodwill, and they can't seem to close. Like, what, they lose three straight games in close fashion?
They're playing
Utah
now.
That's just tough.
How about the Sacramento Kings? Imagine being a Kings fan.
That's down 30 to start every game.
Buddy Hield. I mean, jeez, the Kings are a freaking mess.
And it's that fine line to where, you know, like Gabe Kapler, he's not out there booting the ball. And people were saying that yesterday. I got into it on Twitter. Oh, Luke Walton's not out there playing. And, that's true. But at the end of the day, I don't got to tell you two, managers and coaches set the tone of what they're going to tolerate. And Luke Walton, to me, just seems like a guy that's on there. Oh, no, I don't know what happened. You're the coach. You should know what happened. And I see that with Kapler, you know.
Think of how much the opinion of Luke Walton has changed league-wide, fan-wide, since the 24-0 start and empowering Draymond a couple of years back to getting the opportunity with the Lakers. Well, and, I mean, that's just – it's kind of crazy how quickly we flipped on Luke Walton. He is an afterthought. This is like the hottest coaching candidate in the league.
Well, LeBron ran him out of Hollywood, that's for sure.
Down
there in Hollywood and then out with the Kings.
The LA
when you give that money to Harrison Barnes, when you pay Buddy Hield all that money, you're asking for trouble. Here's Steve Kerr. We want to get back to Steve Kerr here for a second. We're talking about the Warriors, and they're basically starting over with the new brand of I'm not going to say a new brand of basketball, but new players outside of the core three: Curry, Clay, and Draymond Green. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the Warriors starting over.
We're starting over with an all-star backcourt. You know, two of the greatest shooters ever to live who technically are still, you know, in their prime. So we think we have a chance to be really good. And you know, we've added Andrew, obviously, as we talked about. You know, Draymond still has plenty in the tank. And we really felt good about some of our young guys developing this year and getting that draft pick. So in some ways we're starting over, but we have a head start. We're not starting from scratch, you know, but it is a different sort of iteration of our team. And that's exciting. That's what makes it fun.
Steve Kerr on the Ringer with Bill Simmons, Bill Simmons podcast on the Ringer, talking about starting over here. Let's talk about them starting over. And let's start with Andrew Wiggins. How you guys feel about Andrew Wiggins going into his second, I guess, year and a half? He had a small sample size with the Warriors, but how much faith do you guys have in Andrew Wiggins filling that small forward role? A lot of people compare it to Harrison Barnes or whatnot, but you guys have any faith that Wiggins fitting in with this group?
He makes a lot of money. I mean, he makes a lot of money. And I just feel like I'm going to fall victim to the tease. That's what I feel like I'm going to do because I know how I am when I watch. I'm going to be enamored with the size, the length, the ability to score on a given night. But then there's the next night, it looks like he's just going up and down the court, B. It's like he's not even trying to dictate his will. And it's really frustrating for a guy who looks like he has all the talent in the world. And I don't know if it's not focus. I don't want to bash the focus. I just think that at times he just gets so caught up in getting up and down the court and not saying, hey, give me the ball. Let me make something happen. Let me get to the rack. He falls in love with the jumper, and when the jumper's not there, he's just running up and down the court. And it's the word I keep going back to is tease. He just teases me so much, and I feel like I'm going to fall victim to falling in love with him one day and then being frustrated as hell with him for two or three games later. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get with Wiggins. I wish I did. I really don't. I think that that's why he's one of the biggest question marks on the team.
And I remember when he would come in, a young Wiggins and Cat, they would come in and their names were on the marquee going up against the Warriors and Klay Thompson. And I thought Tibbs was this great coach that could get through to Wiggins. And I'll say this, he's going to play the easiest basketball in his life, Bonte Butch. I think his NBA reputation is on the line. And if I'm his friend or family, I got to, if he's not processing that or digesting that, he's got to know this could be his last chance, not to have a job, but to be that guy. And I just don't – he reminds me, skill set, Butch, I never told you this, a young Kobe. That first step, he can do athletically. Athletically, he can do everything on the court, man. He can do everything on the – what? Yeah, no, I didn't say effective.
He can't dribble like Kobe Bryant. He can't shoot the three like Kobe Bryant.
He doesn't have the focus.
He can't get to the cup like Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, but you just disrespected the hell out of him.
No,
I know.
Andrew Wiggins went high in the lottery for a reason. I'm
just
not saying he's Kobe.
Grave.
He's got some.
Are you kidding
he's
me?
Got some mechanics, some above average mechanics.
Can
and
we,
he's got to tap into that, man.
Let's stop with the Kobe. This is the area where they could really use Wiggins. So everyone's gonna say perimeter defense. Let's see. Just going to the bucket hard. They haven't had an athletic since Durant left. Obviously, he was one of the few. A guy who can just attack the rim and be athletic and get to the free throw line. One thing that you never see Steph do because they don't call any fouls for the guy. I feel horrible for him, but he doesn't get to the free throw line a lot. It doesn't slow down the game. It doesn't let easy buckets come to them. They need Wiggins to get to the free throw line. That means he needs to attack the rim. Like, that's one area they absolutely need from him. Big time. They need him getting to the free throw line, getting
easy
buckets,
the easiest hoop of
attacking
his life.
The rim.
He's got to take advantage of it.
It might also be frustrating because the ball's not in his hands a lot. I don't know. We have yet to see.
Well, I'll say this about Tibbs in Minnesota. When Tibbs was up there, they made the playoffs in Minnesota. And Tibbs, we had him on this show, Guru, and Wiggins played his best ball under Thibodeau. Don't forget the situation up there in Minnesota went awry because Jimmy Butler started going crazy. And Jimmy Butler decided he didn't want to be there anymore. And that's what that situation just kind of was like, well, that's that in Minnesota. So much for that one. When he made the playoffs, Wiggins actually bought in. He took better shots. I'm not saying he took the greatest shots in the world, but he actually played some defense here. In this system, he's going to be playing. He's going to be sitting in that corner getting wide open shots. The small sample size we saw with Steph Curry, we only saw one game with Wiggins and Steph Curry. The one game against Toronto where they're almost winning on that Thursday night on TNT, Wiggins saw a lot of open shots. He missed a lot of open ones, but he was starting to figure out, okay, this is how you play with Steph Curry. Steph Curry's going to run around. He's going to create shots because of the gravity or whatnot. Wiggins will get better shots. But can he shoot? I want to see that. It's yet to be proven yet.
He's what I call an astronaut player, all right? And this is a very specific term. Because he floats. He just floats around, and you'd never see him dictate his will consistently. And that's part of the tease. He's a floater. Like, I don't know. He's going to get open looks. He's going to get open shots. But has he ever showed anything in his career as far as consistently being able to knock down buckets?
He couldn't even show it in Kansas.
That's what I'm saying. So why do we think that he's all of a sudden going to just – he's just going to have wide open looks and he's going to be knocking down everything? I hope so, but that's part of the tease of Andrew Wiggins. That's why so many people have been so frustrated with the guy throughout his entire career. He's a floater.
Yeah, and Bonte, he'll have nobody – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Guru. Go ahead, Guru.
No, I was just going to say he'll have nobody to blame but himself. Not only will he have the Splash Brothers – they're going to do something in the lottery. He's going to have help to put him in the best possible situation on the court. And at the end of the day, it's just like you two said, it's up to him to take advantage. It's a make or miss league, man.
He's making $30 million.
Yeah, I know. He's making a lot of money.
He needs help.
You don't just get that, Bonte, if you can't do something.
No, Minnesota just couldn't get anybody there. That's why. Andrew Wiggins shot 34% from the three-point line last season. 33% for his career, Andrew Wiggins, from the three-point line. Here's what Steve Kerr, on the Ringer with Bill Simmons, had to say about the Warriors' championship window on shorter championship windows.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, you know, players are more likely to want to seek a new opportunity elsewhere, but also just the way the cap is constructed. You know, it's really hard to pay everybody. If you have a good young team like we did, you know, 5-6 years ago, you need a break, and somewhere you got to get lucky. And where we got lucky was Steph signing the contract when he had the ankle surgery that made him hugely underpaid that allowed us, and then the cap spike that came when the cap went up, and that allowed us to sign Kevin. But, you know, before long, everybody was a free agent, and I think it's much more likely that you're going to see shorter windows for teams.
Here's Steve Kerr on needing Kevin Durant to win NBA championships.
You know, you could make the argument that if we had beaten Cleveland in 16, Kevin wouldn't have come. And if he hadn't come, there's no way we would have won the next couple. I mean, he was the finals MVP 2 years in a row. So who knows? I mean, everything kind of happens sequentially. And I just know that it was an incredible run that we'd like to kind of, as we talked about, start anew. But, you know, as a coach, what you really want is you want to be able to have a shot at it.
I just ran across a headline. Yeah, that's wild there. I just ran across a headline that if Patrick Mahomes retired today, he would be a Pro Football Hall of Famer on SportsCenter. Today is crazy.
Did you really see that on that outlet? SportsCenter. Wow.
But what do you guys think about what Steve Kerr did? We'll get to Leroy in just a second here in Oakland. But just on shorter championship windows and
how
we need Durant to win titles.
Did he say if they would have won in 16, and then right now in my living room, if the Splash Brothers and Dre were with me, how would they process that? I'm not saying they're mad, but that he came out and said they wouldn't have won the two championships with the original recipe.
Yeah,
I don't buy that.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't buy that? I mean,
they did it twice. What do you mean
They were completely different than the next 2 years. Like, they were totally different. They lost a lot of players off of that team in 2016 to accommodate for Kevin Durant. And I'm not convinced. Okay. I'm just not convinced that team gets right back up there. Like, they needed Kevin Durant. As much as he needed them, they needed Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
And to say anything otherwise is foolish, in my opinion.
I agree. And Draymond Green said it. That team, it peaked in 16.
So what's the bar this year, fellas, without Kevin Durant next year?
The team in 16, it peaked winning those 73 games. Look at the way they won those 73 games. They had to rally a lot in those games.
What's the bar for you two next year?
OKC had them on the ropes.
OKC should have won the damn series.
Damn,
what's the bar then? Can they win it this year? Because the only difference I see is Wiggins and who they're going to draft, a rookie.
That's the only difference. They have no Iguodala. They have no Livingston. They have no JaVale. They have no length and size. They have to get bigger. The rim protection. They need to get bigger and longer and have guys who can play multiple positions. And you need some scoring. You need a guy who could just create a bucket and go get you a bucket.
Yep.
That was the great equalizer with Kevin Durant. In that series against OKC, and even in that series against Cleveland in 16, they had a guy where the kid just, hey, go get me a bucket. He can get it. And that's where Kevin Durant came in to play one of the best half-court players we've ever seen in the NBA. Real quick, Butch, let's get to Leroy in Oakland. Leroy, good friend of the program. Thinks Wiggins could be a star with the Warriors. Leroy, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Always a pleasure to be on. Yes, I feel like Andrew Wiggins is going to be a star for this team. And I have always liked Andrew Wiggins coming out of college. I've always liked him. And I sent the text out that year when, you know, Cleveland, everybody was saying Cleveland was going to take him. And then the Kevin Love buzz started to, you know, start circulating around. And I said this, if Cleveland does not take Andrew Wiggins, LeBron James would never get another championship. And that would have been true if the Warriors had not let Cleveland come back from 3-1. So my team allowed my prediction not to come true, and I have to live that one down. But I always thought if Cleveland didn't take Wiggins, LeBron would get another championship. So I always love Wiggins coming out of Kansas. I think he fell into the right situation with the Warriors, and I think he's going to be a star. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's up to him to seize the moment, though. Like, he's got to play focused basketball on both ends, and he's got to really bring it. Like, there's no excuses for him anymore. The other guy who's got to bring him, we can talk about Steph and Clay, and that's obvious. There's no question. Like, they have to be great. They can't just be really good. They have to be great. You also need Draymond Green to – just hit a couple of freaking wide open jumpers to change the offense in the half court. Otherwise, you ain't guarding that guy. They're going to just pack the paint like he's Tony Allen.
And I think Draymond Green has the most pressure on him going into the next season. He's the X factor for the Golden State Warriors. We'll continue to play some of this sound from Steve Kerr, who joined Bill Simmons on the Ringer podcast. More of your phone calls if you're on hold, stay on hold. 888-957-9570. More coming up here on BSNG, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.